Years ago, when I gave my life to the Lord and a commitment to be in the ministry, we called it surrendering to preach. He gave me a passage of Scripture, and that's the first passage of Scripture I want to share with you this morning. I'm going to be speaking to you on renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. The first passage of Scripture that the Lord told me to memorize is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And basically it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So that means, it meant to me, that if I put my trust in Him, and that means to literally rely on Him for everything, if I put my trust in Him and acknowledge Him in all of my ways, not just in His ways or in the Bible ways, but in the ways of my life, that I would have, and also you will too, if you do this, if you put your trust in Him, you'll find Him the best friend that you ever had. He will be the best friend you ever have. And when I say friend, I mean friend. He knows all about us. He knows where we are. He knows what we're thinking. He loves us anyway. Amen? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So you're included. I'm included. We're all included in that term, God so loved the world. That means He loves us. Amen. He loves us. And we don't have to do anything to have Him love us, because God gave His Son many, many years ago for you, who died in your place, took your sins, our sins, in His body. And that's the reason He had to die, because He was covered with our sins. And that's the reason we don't have to be concerned about our sins, in the sense that we've committed sins and we are sinners and we all come sinned and come short of the glory of God, because God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross took our sins, died in our place, dismissed His spirit from His body, and was in the grave 3 days, and on the third day resurrected. So now He can live within us through the power of His Holy Spirit. So if that's true, and it is, one of the first things that happened to me whenever I became a Christian is I joined a church when I was a boy. As a matter of fact, my mom, I didn't know this till later on, a couple of years after I had committed my life and surrendered my life to Jesus, my mom told me, before you were ever born, I had three friends that graduated with me, all woman friends that graduated with me from high school, and she attended high school in Killeen, Texas. That's where I was born, incidentally. And they had all had children, had gotten married and had children. She'd been married for 3 years and didn't have any children. And so she went to the altar in his First Baptist Church here in Ingleside, and said, Lord, if you will, maybe not so, but she said, Lord, if you'll just give me a little baby boy, I'll give you to him for the rest of his life. So I was a goner before I was ever born, But that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. And I thank God for her and my dad for. And I wasn't a good kid when I was growing up, especially when I hit teenage. I think they wish they probably had never had me. But anyway, God was good to me, and God answered her prayers. And so many, many years ago, I committed my life. I was 19 years old. I committed my life to the Lord, and I said, whatever you want, your call in my life, I'll do it. And I haven't been sorry. And the first scripture that he gave me to memorize was to trust the Lord in all your heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. And he has. Not that I've always followed his directions, but there's been several times when I didn't, and I wish I had. You with me this morning? So one of the first things that we find about renewing our minds after we become Christians is that Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, and that should be probably up on the screen, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. How many of you need peace in your life? All of us. We always need. There's so many troubling things in life and so many issues and so many problems within and ourselves and our families and our friends and, you know, in our circumstances and situations. We always need peace. And the peace that he gives us is that peace that passes all understanding, because I've found myself in times past and situations and circumstances that were just really totally unbelievable and awesome, and that means I didn't really care for those circumstances and situations that I was in. So I learned to pray this prayer very early on. Lord, I don't know why you have me going through this particular situation, but please help me know what it is that you're trying to show me in the situation so I can get out of it as quick as possible. And so that's been the way I've lived most of my life. That doesn't mean I live perfect. I've always worked and pastored churches. In fact, we started this church. I was working for Berry Contracting in Corpus Christi. And then I went with Golston and Golston Engineering. And I've always worked. I worked at the Naval Air Station for 2 years as a chief inspector. I've always worked and pastored a church. I've been full-time a couple of times, but most of the time I've worked. And I've learned that in all of the circumstances and situations of life, he has blessed me with his peace. And there's been a lot of times that I think I maybe already said this, that I was wondering why in this situation I was in, why I was in it. But I did have his peace while I was in it, and I knew I could talk to him and I could trust him and I could depend on him. When the Bible says trust him, trust in the Lord with all your heart, that's what it means. Literally, just to sit down, that doesn't mean to not do anything. It just simply means You can be still in the Lord and be at rest, and he will give you that peace that we all need, even in the midst of the worst situations. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, and I'm just going to read some scriptures about the mind, and let them fall in place and receive them as you will. And if it speaks to you, then God's speaking to you. Well, do what he's asking you to do, or just be, if you're having something troubling you. The Bible says literally, as Christians, to all believers, if you're a believer here and you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, it says you can cast all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. That means he wants to take care of your cares, and that you can go through life and talk to him about anything. If you're having a problem, you can talk to him about it. That doesn't mean he always answers you in the way you want him to, or the way we want him to, but he does answer us, and sometimes he doesn't just answer us with a word and says this, but he answers us in our circumstances, and he takes care of it. Amen? So when we cast our cares on him, he cares for us. This I recall to my mind, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. Therefore, have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Amen? It's the Lord's mercies. Because his compassions fail not. When he has compassion on us, they never fail. Amen? They are new every morning. Can you say that? They're new every morning. Amen? And great, great is his faithfulness. Not our faithfulness, but his faithfulness. God is faithful. We can depend on him, on his word, on everything that he says. We can depend on him. He's faithful. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, will I hope, or will I trust, or will I depend, or will I cast all of my cares on him or in him? He's faithful. Romans chapter 7, verse 23. Paul said after he became a Christian and a child of God, he was a blasphemer, a persecutor. He was actually going around killing Christians. When God touched his life, Romans chapter 7, verse 23, he said, but I see another law in my members. After you become a Christian, you should begin to realize that because you are a new creation, having been born again by the Spirit of God, and that's what makes you a new creation, you're not just one of God's members. You're one of God's children. You're born again, child of God. You don't maybe not realize that's what happened to you, but you are born again. When you're born again by the Spirit of God, you become one of God's children. And so I see another law in my members, Romans 7:23, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, he's thanking God that he's delivered him. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So what he's telling to us is what the Bible says in other places. I don't know if I have it written down here, but I didn't seem to have it. Somebody said this to me years ago. I didn't seem to have any problems until I become a Christian. I said, I wonder, what are you talking about? I said, well, I have I have this struggle going on inside of me, and I didn't really understand I didn't have a struggle, but now I have this struggle going on inside of me, and I don't exactly know what that is, but sometimes I'm not I feel like I'm not doing right, or I didn't do right, or whatever, and I feel this struggle pulling me over to do the wrong things, and I sense this in my flesh, and it's a problem with me. And I said, well, that proves you're a Christian. And they said, what? And I said, that proves you're a Christian, because only a Christian has that. Only a Christian can have a lust of the flesh against the lust of the spirit, so that the spirit of the evil one, Satan, who has sometimes or tries to have control of our fleshly bodies and cause us to do things and cause us to think the wrong things, that's where the battle comes in. So that's why we have, the Bible says, have a renewing of our minds, because we're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we have to learn, because the Bible tells us after we become Christians. See, when you first become a Christian, you probably experience the fact that you've had an experience and something happened to you. You may not fully understand what happened to you, but you were born again by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, and you were placed into it, and that's when that struggle began, because the enemy, that's why I said to the person, that shows you're a Christian, because you didn't have that struggle before. Now you have that struggle, and you understand that you're having a struggle, even though you don't really know what it is. That's what it is. It's the flesh lusting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. So the Bible tells us then, as we go through our lives, if we'll trust the Lord, if we'll put our faith in Him, we'll depend on Him. And depending on Him means, first of all, we trust what He says. We depend on what He says. And that's why He gets us in His Word, so we'll know His Word. Because the Word is the sword of the Spirit. And that's what the Spirit, new Spirit, that we are in Christ Jesus, that's what uses or helps us to use the Word for two or three things. One is the Word is it becomes our shield. If the enemy says to you, like he will, and he'll never tell a non-Christian, you're not a Christian. He only says that to Christians. That's why he tries to create doubt and fear and frustrations. That's why he works in the flesh and maybe gets us to do things and say things that are wrong, because he wants to condemn us. He wants to put us down. He doesn't want us to enjoy our salvation that God has given us. He wants us to think that we're probably not saved, or we're not right with God, or things are not right. And I'm telling you, we're always right with God, although we may not act right, and we may sin, and we may fall, and we may come short of the glory of God and do and say things we shouldn't do, even after we become Christians. That doesn't mean we're not no longer Christians, because you can't be unborn. Look at somebody and say, you can't be unborn. You can't be unborn. Even maybe you just look at yourself. You can't be unborn. If you're born again, you're born again, and you belong to the Lord. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Praise God. And so you can always put your trust in Him, because you belong to Him. You're one of His children. You're not just a believer. You're not just a church member. You're not just somebody that goes to church. You've been born again by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you, so you can talk to God anytime you want to. Isn't that wonderful? So I learned to talk to him about everything. When I was working on my job, if I had something I didn't understand, because let me tell you something, he knows about everything. There isn't anything God doesn't know. Amen? If he did, he wouldn't be God, right? Are you with me? So you can talk to him about your husband. Talk to him about your wife. Talk to him about your children. You can talk to him about your job. You can talk to him about your business. You can talk to him about your car. You can talk to him about anything you want. You can talk to him about your how you feel. You can talk to him about any. Isn't that wonderful? And not only are you just talking to him, but he's hearing what you're saying. He knows where you're coming from because you're one of his children and he loves you. Amen? Praise God. He loves you. And he's just as concerned about you as he's concerned about anybody. God loves you. Don't ever forget that. And you can talk to him about anything you want to talk to him. You may not be able to talk to me about, well, you may not want to talk to me about some things. Amen? And I wouldn't want to talk to you about some of the things I've done since I've been a Christian either. But I can talk to God about them because he understands, he knows. Amen? And as a matter of fact, he's told me several times when I've gotten out of line and done things that are said things that I shouldn't have said, I told you not to do that. Are you with me? I warned you. So then with the mind, Romans 7:25, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. When I'm in with the law of God and in the God law, the Word of God dwells in me. That's why he wants us to get into the Word, because it's faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So maybe I need more faith. What do you need to do to get more faith? Get in the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. Get in the Word of God. How do you get more power? How do you get more strength? From the Word of God. From the Spirit. God's Spirit dwells in this book, in his Word. And that's where he communicates with us, and that's where we communicate with him, and that's where we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 5. He tells us this, and he's speaking to Christian people here, Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. In other words, if I'm in the flesh all the time and I'm always concerned about the flesh and what I'm doing and what's going on in my life and all of the things that concern me, and that's controlling my life and affecting my mind and causing me to be weary and causing me to be discouraged or frustrated, that means I'm in the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. We put our minds are on the flesh. It's on what we're doing, on what we've done, on. But they that are in the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So that means we can put our minds, let our minds be spiritual. Change our minds, put our minds where they're supposed to be. Trust the Lord. Well, I can talk to him about my job, talk to him about anything. And that's putting your mind on the Lord, because you're trusting him. We're depending on him for everything and trusting him to take care of us. Verse 6 of Romans 8, for to be carnally minded is death. It's to be be living in the old man, and which is dead. The old man has been crucified with Christ. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but Christ liveth in me. My old man has been crucified with Christ. He doesn't even see the old man. And all he sees is the new creation that he has made us in Christ Jesus because we've been born again. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to die and get out of this fleshly body. It means that if we live after the flesh, and the flesh is always controlling us, and everything that we do in our minds or in our bodies or in our spirits is always done according to the flesh or what we think we should do rather than having the mind of flesh, having the mind of the spirit, then can't please God. The flesh can't please God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, in other words, he's begging God's word, God's spirit. The apostle Paul he's saying, I'm beseeching to those that read this, God speaking to us, I beseech you, therefore, because this is true, they that are in the flesh can't please God, but you're not in the flesh, in the spirit, because you've been born again. Amen? That's what we're talking about here. So there beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. It's because of God's mercy that we're saved. It's not because we do good things to be saved. It's because of God's mercy that we're saved. Amen? How many of you understand that? Amen. It's by the mercies of God that you are, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So God wants us, wants you as a believer, as a Christian, because you've been born again by the Spirit of God, He wants you to present your body to Him, your ways to Him, to trust in Him, to rest in Him. It means, now I'm not saying you don't have works, because the Bible says it's God that worketh in us both to do will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God that's working in you, me, we as believers, as His children, to do of His good pleasure. So, we're not working to save ourselves. We're not trying to be good to save ourselves. We're not trying to be religious to save ourselves or to keep commandments to save ourselves, because we're already saved. We've already been born again into God's kingdom. How can we be born again? You can only be born one time, right? So we can sit down. The Bible talks about us being in rest as a Christian. Now, what does that mean? It means we don't have to go around doing things to try to make ourselves pleased to God. God's already pleased with us. It's God that's working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasures that we're able to do good things. Amen? Amen. So I can really sit down in Him and not be religious because I'm trying to make myself saved or keep myself saved or to be saved. I am saved. I'm a born-again child of God. So are you. Amen?
Nothing you can do but can birth you into the kingdom of God. God has to do that through his spirit. And he did that when you came to him and said, God, have mercy on me, or whatever, however you came to the Lord and said, I put my trust in you. I'm dependent on you. Then you're saved and you're born again and you're one of God's children, and there's nothing to change that. Amen. So when I put my mind on that, I can talk to him about anything. I can be, because I know in that respect, I can sit down. Well, don't you do good things? Yeah, I do things better than I've ever done them before. Why? Because it's God that's working through me, giving me the ability, giving me the understanding through his word and by his spirit to do the things. Amen? The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Have you ever had the experience of letting Christ strengthen you? Lord, you say, well, how do I do that? Just put your trust. You said, Lord, I depend on you. I need your help in this circumstance and in this situation. I need your help with my husband, or I need my... And it may not be he just needs to be changed. It may be you need to be changed. Amen? Or we do. Well, we all need to be changed. We can all be in the flesh. We can all get in the flesh because we live in a physical human body. We're fleshly. But we're supposed to not walk in the flesh, but walk in the spirit. And we do that by the means of the trusting the Lord. And that spiritual means that it's God that's working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He gives us the strength. He gives us the thinking. He gives us everything. But we have to get into the word of God, because faith, our faith is increased. We grow in the grace and in the knowledge. Hear me? We grow in the grace, which means we grow in the understanding of God's love. As we grow in our Christian life, we begin to understand more and more what he's like and who he is and what he's done for us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. We grow in the grace. In other words, we grow in the understanding of his love towards us, but we also grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One more scripture and we'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man, that is the person we are born in the flesh, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. It doesn't make any difference what people, they can't judge us, they pass judgment on us. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen? And then he tells us, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let's everybody stand. I want to thank you for being here this morning. I pray that God will not only help us to all understand what he's talking about, but he'll help us to grow in his love and how much he loves us, and we'll grow in his understanding and grow in his knowledge of who he is and what he does and how he does it, so that we can walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And we can understand that when we do get in the flesh, all we have to do is just say, Lord, forgive me. Help me not to do that. Take care of me. Work in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Amen? Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the food that's in the back and for all that we're going to be sharing out back there, Father. And we just ask your continued blessings in all of our lives. Father, we all know that most everybody, I guess, knows here that they're... We need your strength. We need your help. We need your love. We need your forgiveness. We need your mercy. Thank you for giving us all of those in Christ. Thank you for your precious Son who took our place and died in our place and forgave us and forgives us so that we can be your children and you can work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Help us to learn how and have the knowledge and the grace to know how to walk in your Spirit and enjoy your presence and your peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.